Well, we're teaching this morning again back in our series dealing with the gospel and the will of man. And praise God, I'm assuming this will be the last this morning the teaching on this series. But then again, God may change his mind, so I've surely had that done. I've come already and had all kind of good notes to teach, and then we didn't even do that. So sometimes, but you got to follow the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we all have to do our part. This morning we're looking at things because dealing in the areas with finances in the will of man, we want to look at this thing because when we think of the gospel, lots of times people think of this small section about receiving Christ. Uh-huh. And that's the church. The church, hey, most spirit-filled people, when they talk about the gospel, it's about getting people saved. No, the gospel includes everything, the blessing of God and what God's done. Uh-huh. That's the gospel. And faith is part of the gospel. Although it's not taught most of the church world. You know, people talk about, well, we preach the gospel, and what they do is they preach 5-10% of it and call it preaching the gospel. And I can just say this as I've come along in my Christian walk, man, the gospel has surely expanded. For me, what I've learned going along, and I'm thinking, my words, I thought I knew something. Hallelujah. You go down the road, and you keep learning, and you keep learning. Hallelujah. Things keep getting open. We're going to deal with the areas today about talking about giving, about following your heart in these areas, and doing the will of God. And in opening, the Lord wants me to say a few things about, which I've talked at times before about. There's different times I've talked about different parts of dealing with back in 2014 when the Lord, through the end of 2014, from about the end of October, the beginning of November, till into the beginning of 2015, I had some supernatural encounters with God where, I mean, he just talked. I mean, it was like sitting in a room and having a discussion with somebody sitting there. That's just the way it was. I mean, he would talk, say things to me, and I'd say things back to him. And if anybody was astounded by it, it was me. Now, I want you to understand this, though, as going into these things. When I talk about these things, there's one thing I see as I learned through Kenneth Hagin. These encounters don't happen because you're so spiritual. And we need to know people, especially people in ministry. Too many people get big-headed in ministry about having encounters with God. And they don't realize the encounters didn't happen just for them. Amen. I've learned this from Kenneth Hagin of following revelations that he was taught. Any of the major appearances that Kenneth Hagin had of Jesus was a revelation given for the body of Christ. That was the purpose of it. It wasn't for him. Now, he was blessed by it because he's part of the body. But it was given. And this encounter that I had, I realized this. This was not just about me. It's about teaching. See, you get revelation from things. If you teach, well, people do it. They teach beyond the revelation. But we shouldn't be teaching. But revelation, God gives revelation. And one of the things you're going to find in ministry gifts that God brings revelation. He put, one of the things, teachers and stuff, he put in apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors. Their purpose is for the saint to minister to the saint. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what it's for. And so, lots of events happen to me, and it's because of the gift. It is not because it's special or somebody else. We have too many people following people. And too many people that they're following, you know, they say, yeah, Jesus is first, but that ain't the way it is. You know, they try to act like they're special. God does all this stuff. If you get as spiritual as me, as this will happen. I'm just going to tell you what. If you aren't not standing in one of these office gifts, you're going to have a lot of things that aren't going to happen like that. And there's nothing weird about it. Because you don't need to have it happen. You don't need it. Hallelujah. My regular Christian walk, I get revelation studying the Word just like you do. Things and events happen to me at times because it's for the body. It's for me to bring a revelation. If you're having encounters with Jesus and you ain't getting revelations, you didn't have an encounter with Jesus. You saw another spirit or heard another spirit. Jesus, every time God has ever in any way manifested in any way toward me, there's always been scripture involved and things in it and showing me and lighting me to certain things in the Word. And that's the way he does it. Number one, that's how I know it's him. If it ain't, well, you know, we can't verify it in the Word. Well, it ain't a whole lot of good. I can't walk very much by faith about it. So I want you to understand this going in. So when I'm talking about things here, it ain't special. Jesus is special. The Holy Ghost is special. God the Father is special. Hallelujah. And they manifest to bless our lives. It's to bless us. The Lord told me many years ago as a young Christian, because revelations would just come to me. I mean, stuff would just come to me and I'd think, my God, I'd sit around and Christians would be struggling for something. I'd say, man, revelation just come to me and things just happened, you know, that, and I was, you know, Lord, you know, what's going on? Why do these come? One of the things that he told me, it helps to bring revelation and this will help you. He said, you don't hold revelation. You give it. You're a giver of it. He said, I can give it to you because you'll give it to somebody.
Amen.
See, many Christians are storehouses. They're dams and not rivers. Be a river. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Get in the flow. Amen. And he told me, that's why he said, you'll give. So he said, I give you revelation. Because I watch many ministers. They ain't getting much revelation. Why? Because, you know what? They're not given revelation out God gives them. They teach what people want.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
The people would be blessed if they followed the revelation. Give the revelation. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think what I want turns out to be not what I need at all. Hallelujah. So God's brighter in all of us. So, but anyhow, in that's encounters, one of the things is, well, the Lord commended, the beginning of it started off, he commended me and my wife. Now, Wanda wasn't there. He didn't talk to Wanda. He talked, but he spoke to me about, he said, you and Wanda, he said, how he commended us on our areas of our giving and how willingly we gave over the years. He talked to us about how he said every year you guys look back over your finances and look at things and how maybe you can do something else here or do something there. And he said about how, you know, he said your finances and your giving is a very important thing to you and being able to give and to do stuff. And he said, I commend you for that because he said you've been very generous in your giving and doing these things. Now I want you to understand this when we talk about generosity and giving. You need to understand is how God views generosity. He's not as excited about the amount you give. It's the amount you give by what you have. See, Jesus, when Jesus was sitting at the temple at the gate where they came into the temple where they gave their alms and their gifts and stuff. There was a woman come in and she had two copper pennies. She put two copper pennies in and Jesus said to his disciples, she gave more than anybody. Well, it couldn't have been. She didn't put more in amount to anybody. But for what she had. God measures what you do by what you got. Even the giftings in your life, he measures you by what you have. You know, two people can have the same gift, but there's greater anointing on one person than another in that gifting. Not everybody's the same. You know, we look in the Bible, we look in the Old Testament. You find there was different kinds of prophets. There was prophets sometimes to a region, sometimes to a city, sometimes to a nation, sometimes. People had different anointings to do different things. You know, people have different anointings and that stuff that God calls them to. So it's what you, God blesses you according to what you do with what you were given. Not what you don't have. You know, so in areas of given finances, God looks at what you got. What do you do with what you have? It's what he looks at. See, you could put, you know, a very large offering in sometime or other, but then generally you're not much of a giver. You know, however you do it, whatever you do. But I want you to get a hold of this because it isn't based on amounts. I found this out over the years with people. People who come into the kingdom, they find out about God and the blessing and God starts to bless them. When they're younger, they don't have as much. It seems they're more apt to give to God, and as they get more money, they get tithe. They think because their tithe got bigger, they don't have to go giving other. And actually, their giving really reduces. Oh, they say they gave larger numbers, but their income got much bigger, and they're giving actually less percentage than they used to give before. God notices that. This isn't just tied to finances. I'm going to tell you what, this stuff will tie to your health. Mm-hmm. You need to understand. See, how we think about things and stuff ties to the whole ball. We try to make, today they try to, well, healing, just believe God for healing. Hey, people get over here and get in areas and that stuff and they're wrong in their life about God. It'll affect over here in this. People need to understand these things. So when we're teaching this stuff, one of the things I want to show you here, we want to walk in the blessing of God concerning finances. And one of the things majorly dealing in this area is dealing with the will of man. Your will. See, your will is going to determine what you enjoy doing or don't enjoy doing. Your will. See, this is what I learned over the years. There's things that I enjoy today that I didn't enjoy. But I learned to enjoy it by my will.
Amen.
I enjoy it. See, you're going to determine. You know, I determine this naturally from food. People say, well, I don't like this food and that food. I'm going to tell you what. You start eating that food you don't say you don't like. Start eating it every day, and you'll like it after a while.
Amen.
It's good preaching, folks. I've done it already. I've done it. There's foods I didn't like. I used to didn't like liver. And I decided, I'm going to learn to like liver. Number one, I set my faith. I said, I'm going to learn to like liver. I didn't go around, I don't like that. 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 I just can't eat. Well, sure you can't. Your faith's working great. Your faith's working just the way you put it. So I just started doing it, eating liver. And you know what? I like liver today. I even went in the restaurant and ordered. You'd have never caught me doing that. That would never happen. But there's other things, you know, that I've done long enough. I just decided. Number one, here's one thing I learned. I've learned how to use my faith and develop my faith. Amen. See, most people only ever use their faith when something happens. I use my faith all the time to do things just to prove, keep my faith alive and running.
Amen. Preach.
My faith works. People don't do that. They just wait till something bad happens and they try to use their faith and it takes them, you know, 2 years to try to get around to finally get the faith working a little bit. This is a walk of faith. It's an everyday thing. I find everything to do. You know, there's things that, like, you know, Wanda and I, we do over time, and I could have afforded to go buy it, but I wouldn't buy it. I believe God for it. I'm going to say, I ain't going to go buy it. Why? Keep my faith out there running on something, bringing it in, doing something that I stop and say, you know what? I use my faith. God did that for me. See, if you keep doing it by your bank account, I'll tell you who gets the praise. You just got to learn to stop. Sometimes say, well, praise God. God will bring that to me. Hallelujah. God's going to do that. I might have the money to do something, but I'm going to believe God for money for that to come in specifically to do that. Well, I'd go to my bank account and get it out, but I ain't going to. Now, during this visitation, God dealt with me specifically. It had to do with me because of where I was operating at. Now, you need to understand this. On Revelation is progressive. When I first started out as a Christian and walking and understanding about finances and believing God, I walked in a lot lower level than I do today. But you know what? God bless me. It's amazing the things God did. But that's where my revelation, and I followed that revelation. And over time, God started to show me to walk in a higher level concerning things. And so I progressed. And that was what this one was about dealing with this, and specifically with myself. Anybody who is walking in where I was, Wanda and I were walking in at the time, could do that also. But not everybody's going to be in that place to walk where they can. You know, some people are on a lower level. You know, you can't take somebody, and just, you know, you can't make a kid an adult. You just don't, you know, it takes time. It takes development and growth. This is one thing. See, I found this. Most Christians are Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're still walking in levels on things of where they did when they came in the kingdom. They haven't progressed in those areas of faith because, well, I have faith in God. I'm born again. Well, good luck. You know you're born again, but you can't get God working in the rest of your life at all. Because you have to develop in things and grow in things. And so this was about this. So God set up and told me a plan that I could do for Wanda and I to develop higher in this. Now, I'm going to tell you, it worked. Because from the time that he talked to me about this, our finances, financially, we're probably about 20-fold greater than what we were at that time. So it's a working. It works. See, I always go to Kenneth Hagin and say, he said the proof is in the eating of the pudding. So it's like, it works. And see, one of the things we want to look at, and as I realized over time, there was things that, that Wanda and I developed Lord told me to stay close to the Kenneth Hagin ministry, his teaching. So I didn't run around listening to everybody else and his brother on teaching on a lot of stuff. It wasn't that they didn't have good stuff, but I found this out. There was too many people that were teaching that had these narrow lines of teaching. And when Kenneth Hagin, you know, is one thing as I learned from him is, you know, I learned this, faith works by love. And you can sit around and play all the faith games you want, but if you don't walk in love with people, you're going to have faith problems. You can sit around and say, I believe, I don't know why it's working. Well, you better deal with things. You're walking in love. It's one of the things you want to know that you're doing. But I began to understand some things because listening to his teaching, I found out there was areas that maybe he wasn't teaching about finances specifically or even healing specifically, but he was teaching on some other things, and I started to see light that if I would walk in those areas would affect my finances, it would affect my health, that I could start to see the light on that stuff. And I started to see getting a bigger picture and a bigger picture of what I walk. If I want to increase in an area, there's things that I needed to learn how to walk in and do that would affect those areas. It affect how I could believe. It could affect my confidence toward God. And so, and this is one of the things we want to look at today, because we're specifically talking about the will and getting your will involved in your giving. A lot of teaching that has come out. It's one thing, as I always used to tell, I always tell people this. I always loved giving to Kenneth E. Hagin because I never felt like he had his hand in my pocket. I'll tell you what, I can't say that about a number of big ministers. If I listen to them, I always feel like they're trying to get their hand in my pocket. I mean, they can hardly say a word without trying to get an offering out of you. You know, why you ought to be given to them and that stuff. I have nothing against, you know, it takes money for the ministry. But, you know, when people become dollar signs to a person, it's like with me. If I become a dollar sign to you, you can guarantee my wallet's welded shut. It's just, well, I've learned this thing because we're going to look at it today. If you don't learn how to operate by your own willingness, you can give and it produces nothing for you. I'm going to show you in the Bible. We need to understand this. This is where people, you need to understand your own heart and learn to follow your own heart of where you are. Most Christians never learn to know themselves. They're trying to know God. It doesn't do you any good to know God and not know you.
Amen. Preach.
You got to know where you're at. Don't matter what he says, I'm in a different place. And I don't know where I'm really, what's my motivation? It's like, over the years, how many times I've heard people come to me and say, well, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. They don't know themselves. I know this. They have a problem. They don't know their own, they don't know the real them. They don't know whether they're believing or not. So you need to know when you're in contact with the real you and when you're not. If you don't, you can't live a life of faith. You got to know you, because the faith is what comes out of you. It's about you. You know, God gives us the word, and there's faith in that word, but it's about you taking that thing. It's about you developing that thing. It's about you releasing that thing. It's the you. I don't know if I'm in faith. And I always say to people, well, you're not. You just said, if you don't know you are, you couldn't be if you don't know you are. I know when I'm in faith, and I know when I'm not. And I know when I've tried things when I wasn't in faith. I know those things too. Been there, done that. But I want you to get a hold of this. Why? This is not anything. This is what brings success. This is the success of Christianity. It's not just knowing God. If you learn to really know God, you'll learn to know you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, you got to be led. You have to know you if you're being led by the Spirit or not. How are you going to develop?
Amen.
Well, I'm a Christian. Go except. Do you live in sonship? See, there's many people born again. But you know what? The majority don't live in sonship. Amen. They got it, but don't live in it.
Amen. Preach.
See, it don't matter how much money you have in the bank. If you can't get to it, it ain't any value. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like he's got this little guy, he said about, you know, he had a certain thing. He said, this is worth this ton of money. And he said, and I said to him, I said, that thing is only worth what anybody will pay for it. And I said, you can say it's worth $5 trillion all you want. But if nobody will pay you more than 25 for it, that's what it's going to be worth.
Amen.
I don't care what you say it's worth. You got to get somebody to buy it for it to be worth that. Mm-hmm. And you'll never know till you sell it. And you can talk big stories. It don't matter. The stories ain't no good to me. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is. If you put a value on something, well, somebody has to. They say, this thing is priceless, and then they sell it. Well, how could you sell it if it was priceless? You could have never got anything for it. We use dumb terminologies. What I want you to look at today, because God is interested in the willingness of man. And it's funny because I'm going to use scriptures here that the Holy Spirit took me to. I hadn't seen these scriptures before in his light. And I looked at him, I thought, my God, they've been here the whole time. And I said, I've heard people use these scriptures, but they've never used them in this manner. And when the Holy Spirit turns the light on, it's like, oh my God, hallelujah, the light's on. I want you to turn to Exodus 35th chapter. We're going to start there in the Old Testament. I want to show you a principle. remember this concerning the law. People say, well, you know, that's the law. That's giving with the law. Well, most of the so-called spirit-filled people and that stuff in teaching, the first thing they do is run to the law to try to get you to tithe through Malachi. It's the first thing they do. As they run there and use the law in giving. I want you to tell you this. You and I don't give on the basis of the law, from the law standpoint, of we give to get. We give to, we don't. We give because we're blessed. We have already been blessed with it. We don't give to get God to open the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are open. We're children of God. It's already opened us. See, many people, this is why things don't work. People are in faith with religious beliefs rather than the Bible. See, and I learned financially and that stuff. God's already blessed me with every spiritual blessing. What I have to do is find out what it is and respond to God according to what the Word says, and it will, and I'll be blessed. And then that blessing that already belongs to me, I can just go to the counter and say, yeah, Lord, I want to thank you for giving that to me. Yeah, I come to get what belongs to me. And he says, here you go, son. That's what happens to the sons. Hallelujah. That's sonship. Glory to God. Well, in Exodus 35, verse 4, I want you to read this and listen carefully in this. It says, and Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commands, saying. Now, I want to stop there. What he's going to begin to talk about, God had told Moses about building the tabernacle. And he gave him the instructions on how it was supposed to be built, the materials that would be needed. And now he told the people, this is what he's going to the people for. He's going to the people about this, about the materials needed, what needs to be done. And listen, I want you to hear the words. He said, this is the things which the Lord commanded, saying. He said, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hairs, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil from light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. Now I want you to see that. God has made a command on the areas concerning giving. But who is God requiring in the giving? Listen to what God says. Did you hear what he said? He said, you take this offering. He goes, go among you, take this offering. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring as an offering to the Lord. The command is to the willing heart. The command was not to everybody. Well, why would God do that? Well, we'll get on to it. I want you to understand something. See, this is something, and I'll teach you something today. Now, I've known for years and years, but I don't hear it taught. We have this idea of just giving will be given unto you. Well, if I just gave it, my heart ain't really in it, but I gave it, it's going to come back to me. No, it's not. It's not work this way. And I want you to see something here because of yourselves and that stuff. I'm a big believer in this because of listening over the years to Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was not a man to up and jump and do something. He would always get his heart in line to do it. Even though something needed to be done, he just didn't jump into it. Like I use examples where I learned from him about praying. He didn't just jump and pray like with his own family for somebody that was sick. He didn't just jump and pray that instantly. He'd take sometimes overnight and meditate on the scriptures till he was ready to release his faith. We don't do that. Give me something instantaneous. Oh, this happened. That's quick. Yeah, I need prayer right away and this and that. That's why stuff don't work. Nobody's ready. Nobody has set their heart for a darn thing. I just give me what I want. Buy me, give me, get me. And they don't prepare their heart. This is about, look what God said. God is commanding the willing heart. God wants something. He wants the willing heart. He don't want the unwilling. Why? Don't he like them? Well, we'll find out that's not true either. And I want you to see this because the Lord wanted me to teach it because there's this principle I've known, but I was really glad when the Lord took me over. I said, you know, I didn't realize this was laying right out here and I heard never anybody even teach it about it. They always say, well, your command to bring the offering. Say, God's telling you, you got to do it. That's not at all what's said here. This is one of the things the Lord told me back in 2014. He said, ministers, they've used the word to get stuff for them real good, but not the people. And he made mention to me about different ones and stuff and things that they're doing. One of the things that he did commend me on was the fact that I don't push but try to get something out of people. Just, you know, I don't look at people as dollar signs. I don't do that. I've been hesitant many times teaching on certain things concerning finances because I don't want people to feel like I have my hand upon. I'm not after you. And maybe sometimes I should teach a little bit more on it. But we've had such extremes in these areas. I feel bad for a lot of people because, you know, I thank God I had a really good teacher that taught me about finances, and it's blessed Wanda and I's lives, and it worked. And it don't happen overnight of doing one offering. Oh, you giving this one offering and this special offering here, and God, you know, I'll tell you what, you'll never need money again. You'll just, you know, they say things like that. Oh, biggest liars you ever heard. I'm going to tell you, them and the devil have a good working relationship together because that spirit ain't from God doing that stuff. No, you're always going to have to walk. This is a walk of faith that ain't going to ever quit. You ain't going to do one thing and everything's fixed forever. If you think you're going to go there, I'll tell you what, just get ready to leave the earth. It'll be a lot easier for you. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to show this. This isn't just said once. I want you to see this again. On the same chapter, go down to verse 21. I want you to see this. It says in verse 21 of 35, it says, then everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting for all of its services and for the holy garments. They came both men and women, as many as had what? A willing heart. And brought earrings and nose rings and necklaces and all jewelry of gold that is every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Here again, what do we see? The willing ones. Here, the ones who are willing are coming. I'll guarantee you, you had probably had people in the group who weren't willing. Now, understand this. There may not have been anything wrong with them, as we would like to think about, other than they may have had lack of knowledge about certain things. They may not have understood certain things. They may not have been as well informed. Because we want to look at this thing. Number one, God is going to deal with you according to your knowledge, not somebody else's. Amen. Not some preacher from the front. He's going to deal with you according to your knowledge. You must act in faith on what you understand and know. You can't do it for what somebody else knows. See, I may tell you stories about how God moved and did certain things to me, but you can't copy just because I did it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, There's a gold out there you can shoot at on some things, but you got to develop yourself to go there. You can't jump there if you ain't got it. You ain't going to just jump there. Amen. You ain't going to do it just because I did it.
Amen.
You got to know you can do it. You have to know, this is where knowing your own heart. You must know what you can do and what you can't. You need to know how far your faith is or how far it's not. Now, I'm going to show that same chapter again down in verse 29. Now listen to what he said. The children of Israel in verse 29 said, of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all the kinds of the work which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. Now, do you see that there? It wasn't a sacrificial offering. You need to give I believe in free will offerings. See, we preach grace and then teach sacrificial stuff. We need to be careful how we do that. Grace is about free will. We've been teaching this about the gospel. Oh, but the gospel can't pressure people for money. So we got to teach sacrificial. This is not a sac. God wants this stuff from the people. And what's it called? A free will offering. This is your willingly. God wants you to operate out of your free will. God's not putting you back under the law. You've got to do this or that. He's going to, look, you're going to make the choice whether you do this. If it works for you, it's going to determine for you. You're going to have to do this. It's free will. It hasn't changed. And I want you to get that. Because it gets real blessing to you. Because you understand, you want to get blessed on the level that you can believe at, where you're at. You want to be blessed. And God If anybody wants to bless you, it's him. He'll bless you at the level that you understand you want. And if you know that, you can operate by your free will in that area to do the will of God in that area and be blessed for it. And not look it over here and this guy said, well, he's up there talking, my offering ain't big enough. You know, mine's not. Many people get destroyed by the guy up front. They're not in faith when they give their offering. They feel like they ain't doing enough. They feel like you can't feel that way and have your and operate in faith. You feel that way. Faith is, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I know that I'm doing it. I'm doing this willingly. God's going to move for me in what I can do. So you need to get a hold of these things. Many people are given for a lot of different reasons than Bible reason. See, God wants to bless you. And see, we have this thing of, well, you got to give your best offering in this offering here. I can tell you, I said, if I named him, everybody know who he is. I sat in his meeting and they went on for probably about 45 minutes trying to take an offering. And I mean, just trying to put people under a trip to, you got to get to go on and on and on and on until you're done. My God, you forget what you were there for. You just, I was going to put a certain amount of money in the offering. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you put that in. He said, this is what I want you to put in. It was a lot less. He said, if you put in that other offering, he said, you'll obey me what I want you to do, not what he wants you to do.
Amen. Preach.
He said, if you'll obey me, he said, I'll give you 100-fold back on that offering. And he did. 2 weeks after that, he gave it back. Now, look, you understand this. You're not going to get 100-fold back in all you give, and probably most of it you ain't going to. But he spoke to me. He was teaching me a lesson there. He was teaching me about things. See, I wasn't following my heart. I was following what people say. You know, you got to give a lot of money. You got to do this. You got to do that. If you want to get blessed, you got to meet my quota. And then, do you ever notice about this? I mean, Jesus is down there watching them give money, and he proclaims the woman that puts two copper pennies in, and ministries proclaim the guy that gave the million. Little different. They never tell the guy out here who was down to his last $100 and put all of it in that offering. He gave more than all of them. He gave more than the guy with the million. But who do they drag up front and brag on? Well, folks, it's good preaching nonetheless. What happens is this. It discourages the people down below. It discourages their faith. I'm going to tell you what. It is a sin to discourage people's faith. You can go into meetings and have more sin and a little bit going on. And they're talking about, you know, out here committing adultery is big sin and that stuff. Wow, the people up front are discouraging the people's faith. And an offering time's a good time to do it. My job ain't to meet the guy's budgets. My job is to do the will of God, what he said. Follow. See, you got to follow your own heart. What can I do? What can I walk in? What can I cut? Now, one of the things the Lord showed me about this is he said, did you see this? He said, I put this three times. He said, three times in here I mentioned this. Three times in a row I mentioned this. Now, if God mentions anything three times in the Bible, we have all kind of doctrines that are preached among the faith people and they hardly got a good scripture to stand on it. This is mentioned just three times here. God's trying to tell something here. It's a revelation that's needed in the church. It's one of the things in 2014 and into 15, God was really upset over the fact of how the average Christian was not prospering like the ministers were prospering. Upset him. The people weren't. And he said, because we weren't. I mean, he didn't talk nice about some of these guys. He didn't talk nice at all to me about them. I didn't ask him about him. He talked. He did things he don't like. Things he don't like, the people do. Because he looks at his people. You know, God don't pick out, you know, the fact that I'm gifted ain't special. I can't even figure out why he'd have chose me. I thought there'd been a lot of better people to choose on this thing. So he chose. But he didn't, he chose it. And don't make you special. I'm not special. Amen. And we have this thing, it's easy to get into this elitism and that stuff. And, You're special, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And here, you know, and I believe, you know, it's a, people bless the minister and that stuff and do things for him. I go, you know, that, and that's okay. But it's just from that standpoint, we don't want to get over the things they put this idea. Boy, you got to really take care of that minister. You got to make him rich and then God will just do a lot for you because you really make him rich and that stuff. These, all these things don't, you know, we got ministers out here that are so darn rich. And are so follow money so much. I mean, one major minister, I was just reading an article, was in a news thing about it. That's another minister, you know his name. The IRS was considered to stop housing allowances for ministers because of what he did. This guy, he lives in a home probably worth about $5 or $10 million and probably bought himself about $1 million worth of furniture for his living room. I mean, you don't need that. And doing this kind, and then he's, you know, he'll always asking for money. He's asking people to give. Well, when are you going to give till it hurts? You know, if you're worth $100 million, you give $10 million away. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Say, why don't you give till it hurts? Why don't you give, you know, 9,999,000 away? And well, let's see that. See how that works on you. You're asking the people to do. See, we're asking people to do things. And see, I've learned this from Kenneth Hagin. You don't ask people to do what you won't do. You don't ask them to. I thank God I have a spiritual father. I got to be raised up to under somebody's decent. Hallelujah. Who understood the principle. If anything, from a ministry standpoint, ministers are supposed to be example of the people and not in the way they've been an example. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this because, see, this was a free will offering. This was not a sacrificial offering. See, sacrificial offerings that are taken by ministers, many times they're the idea to receive something that a person has been unwilling to give. See, they want people to give what they feel they can't afford or what their heart has been unwilling to do. That's what most time is sacrificial. That isn't the way it works. And why I want to talk to you this about this, because we need to talk about faith. We need to talk about the subject of faith. God is always, his great intent is to move people to the area of faith, of where they can stand at the position they can stand in faith. You can't have this kind of sacrificial offering thing trying to drag out of people what they ain't willing to do. There's no faith involved in this. God can't bless it. And that disappoints him. It's one of the things in 2014, because he talked in his great disappointment of not being able to bless his people like he'd like to. His great disappointment, because the way people are being told about things, the way they're said to things, it diminishes their faith and he can't bless them. Remember that? God don't bless you because you have a need. Get over that. Because he'd fulfill everybody's needs in the world. If you haven't noticed by looking around, they don't. Faith is our response to God, and through faith, God responds to us. And we need to walk in the light of that. I want you to think about this, dealing with the wheel. In Isaiah, we talked about this scripture before, Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And we talked about that. Kenneth Hagin went to the Lord about this. God told him to leave his church he was pastor and go out in what they call the field ministry or traveling ministry. He went out and began to do that. Financially, he started sinking and really sinking badly. In fact, Kenneth E. Hagin was in poverty. He was in so much poverty, his car, he ran it into the ground. It wasn't even worth nothing. He sold it for junk. He said, I've heard him talk about it. He said his children weren't fed well, didn't have enough clothing, stuff like that. He's out here working. So he went to God about this. And he said, God, you know, he said, the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you eat good of the land. He said, I did what you told me to do. And the Lord said, yes, but you don't qualify for that scripture. He said, what? You haven't been willing. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Kenneth Hagin, all during that time with all that problem, he always tithed from what he had and he gave offerings. Yet he's getting nothing back. Why? He's doing, but he's not willing to be doing what he's doing. He's just going through the things of, I'm giving money, I've went and done what you said. Why? God is, why? The willing heart is the heart of faith. He's not operating faith. You need to understand this. This is why you need to be careful about what people say, these sacrificial offering things. This is what I'm trying to tell you, is this standpoint. And ministers need to really explain themselves when they say these kinds of things, because it leads people over an idea. Well, if I, I'm just going to do this. I didn't want to. We're going to, you know, take the kids' money for eating this week, and we're going to throw it over here because the minister said, and they really don't want to do it. Their heart's not in this thing at all, and they're not. And it don't work. And the kids go hungry. And the minister done told them they were going to get 100-fold back. And he never gets 100-fold back for all he gives. But he's telling them they're going to do that. Why don't you just, they just say, you'll get 1,000,000,000-fold back. Why? It ain't going to happen anyhow. It ain't going to happen with 100. It ain't going to happen 1,000,000,000,000. It ain't gonna... It's not going to. Hallelujah. God's not going to work around. You don't have to use your faith anymore. If God gives you a lot of money, He's going to expect a lot out of you with that money. Well, what's the point of you having it? So you can go live off your money and don't have to believe God again? Just a thought out there, folks. Hallelujah. So Kenneth Hagin was giving. He was doing what the Word said. He was giving. He was tithing and doing giving. But ain't nothing working. He ain't getting no money. No money's coming back in. And all had to do with the will. And when he got his will in line and got in line with the revelation God gave him, things changed. See, faith changes everything. Faith will change it. If it ain't changing, it ain't been faith there. It ain't been faith there. Now, this is not criticism. If you understand that, you'll understand how to get in touch with your heart, find out where you can stand to get something done. You can't keep playing a game that you're not in faith at and saying, I'm believing God and nothing ever works. God's not happy with that. Not, He's not mad at you. He can't bless you and He wants to. That's what upsets Him. He's, man, I want to bless my people. I want to do something for them. I want to bless them. When He told me when I was just a baby Christian, He said, I want to bless my people more than they want blessed.
Amen. Preach.
Well, I had to go and find out how he did it. And I want to show you what scripture that we all know. And it's really in line with this, what reason for the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 9 chapter. Paul is taking an offering. He's talking to the Corinthians, why they had gone to the churches, the Gentile churches, because down in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem is struggling because, well, persecution, but they also, the church in Jerusalem, they've had a great drought in Jerusalem during that time in that area, region down there, and things are hard. And so he's taking an offering to send the Christians down there some money, get them some money so they can, you know, for their everyday needs and stuff is what he's doing is down. Now, he had talked to the churches about this, and then he told them they were going to come around. He told them about the offering. In other words, preparing ahead. Gee, isn't that interesting? See, this is why I announce offerings and stuff out ahead, because, see, I want you to think, take a time to get into your heart. This is what it is. See, I always like these ministers, you go to their meeting and all of a sudden they walk out, never tell anybody, and then they walk out there. We have this big thing we got to do and we have to do it right now, and if we don't meet this budget thing and if we don't do this and that's it. All this thing they knew about. See, but they know how to manipulate you. They know how to use psychology. They know about the psychology thing and they have very little interest in your faith. And I'm just telling you, your faith is your treasure with God. This is how you step into the glory. This is how you step into the things God has. Your faith is where you hook in.
Amen.
And when people override that and they just treat it like it's a nothing, like the Lord said, they just slap me in the face. So you don't treat His people bad and Him really keen on you. Well, now listen. Here we go, this offering. Now listen to what it says in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Verse 5 says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised. So they told they were going to do something. So he goes back on their promise. You know, hey, faith people are good to their word. Don't tell people you're going to do something and then don't do it.
Amen.
Because your faith is no good. Don't be surprised things don't work out for you. See, he brought this with, that it may be ready as a matter, now listen to this, it's ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Did you hear that? See, Paul understood this principle. He wants people willing in their giving. This isn't a grudge offering. This isn't a sacrificial offering. These people down here need your money, and you know, you ought to be ready to miss lunch for them. No. Look at Paul's going. Paul said he wants this a matter of generosity. You know, and generosity is that something you want to do? I just want to be generous to you. I want to do something good to you. This is what it is. I don't want. Then he says, but this I say, and I'm going to tell you this. He said, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now, he ain't being ugly to him. He's just telling him the principle. This is the principle. It is. You know. So in other words, here's the thing of it is. I had to learn this over time where the Lord taught me. I had to learn how to be less sparingly in my sowing. In other words, being more generous in my sowing. Why? So I could reap more. It's just like a farmer. You know, the farmer out here, I don't care if he only has the money to plant 1 acre. He's still got to get 10 acres of corn. The guy who can afford to plant the 100 acres, he gets the 100 acres of corn. You know, it's just the law. It's the way it works. It's just the way it works. What you get to plant. So in other words, we need to get this in mind. This is nothing weird. You know, Wanda and I, man, we couldn't even plant a half an acre when we started. We had a little corner of the flower bed. That was our planting. But you know what? That's what we could do. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we stretched, but we didn't stretch because we felt we had to. We wanted to. It was our desire. Boy, we were glad, and we said, man, we want to do this because we want to do more of this. We want to do more of this. See, the love of God in my heart, this thing about giving, it just got a hold of me as a young Christian. It just Amen. Thought, man, I want to do something.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I was a taker all my life up to that time. See, I just wanted to do something. I thought, man, this is good. We're doing it with a willing heart.
Amen.
You know, at first Wanda didn't understand what I was doing in some of this stuff. She thought I was a little bit crazy for what we had and what I was doing here as giving. But I tell you what, Wanda found out this thing works. She's in it up to her neck, man.
Amen.
She'll give it a drop of a hat. If I say to her, I think we ought to give maybe so, hey, we ought to give $10,000. She'll say, sure, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
She'll just do it just like that. She knows how this thing works. She knows how this thing works, and she's working the system. And it's better than the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
It is more sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is more sure. Works. You know, we had this thing here. We had a certain amount of money. We had an account. And we wanted to save it up, get a little bit bigger. But every time we started to save it up, God have us give about a quarter of it away. It'd come up. But you know what? I thought, hey, we got it here. He got it up this high. We gave it away. Amen. Then he went and turned around about 6 months passed. Got it raised up some and he had us give a quarter of it away. And you know, you can sit there and look at that thing and go on. But now it's up higher than it was before. And you know what? I know what he'll do. He'll say, why don't you give a chunk of that away? He'll do that. You know what? Know what we'll do? We won't think 10 minutes about it. See, we've developed this willing heart over time. It don't happen overnight. See, he taught us in the little things and we found out it works. And man, does it work in a big system? Once I learned to work in the little things, I say, man, we got to get bigger on this thing. Because I want more than what I've had. See, if you're happy with what you got, you will only ever have what you got. That's all you'll ever have. I'm not happy with what I got. Now look, I'm not bragging to you about giving. I'm bragging on God because I tell you what, I could have never made this work.
Amen.
Naturally, Wanda and I shouldn't have the money we do. There's no natural reason why we have the money we do. There ain't no natural reason. I didn't get rich from the stock market. I didn't get rich from none of that stuff. I didn't none of that came from that. Just out here obeying God, making things work, making things happen.
Amen.
Sometimes I wonder what comes. I remember Juan and I going through the things back years ago. We started in this area giving. We went turn around and looking, and I remember Juan to come to me because she always liked to handle the checkbook and going through. And Juan was always faithful with dealing with that stuff. And she wanted to do it, and I'd let her do it. I always knew what was going on, but she would always take care of it. And she'd say, I don't understand. See, we were looking at what we were going to give, and I was just trying to figure out to the end of the month how we were going to make these things work. And she said, I can't figure how we gave as much as we did away and everything balanced. She'd say this, I don't get it. It worked. She said, I can't figure out how it did what my numbers were. She said, I go back and check, and she said, then I go check the bank, say, and it's right. Everything's okay. I don't got my figures wrong. I said, well, how do you do it? I don't know. I just don't care. My job is not to make the account work. It's to get over my side of what I'm supposed to be doing. Listening to my heart and the Holy Spirit in me. I found out many times the Holy Spirit does this. He don't specifically direct me in giving. He lets me follow my own heart. What I desire. I just go ahead. Go ahead and do it. You want to do it? Get after it. And see, this is the thing, is willingly. And we look down at this here, and in verse 7 it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. You're supposed to give as you purpose, not what somebody else tells you to purpose. You see that? See, read the Bible. Can't take big offerings. But you know what? Brother Hagin take huge offerings. And he didn't have to go do around and put his hand in your pocket and make you feel like you're a scumbag. You didn't put enough in. And what's wrong with you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had a good spiritual daddy. I always thank God. Hallelujah. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Listen, not of necessity. You got to do this. God don't want you coming. You got to do this. God wants you to come. I want to do this. This is grace. Free will. Oh, this has limited the body of Christ in really the financial blessing area because a lot has been done not in faith. We feel we gotta. I know a pastor I sat under, Houston, I mean, he was just, man, he was hard about you. If God said do it, you better do it. You just do that kind of stuff. You know, says it in order, do it. He didn't even do it. But you know, you're doing everything because you have to, not because, hallelujah. You know, is your willing at heart? See, we bypass these scriptures. And really, this principle hasn't changed since Exodus, has it? Didn't change. It's about your heart. Don't do this grudgingly or of necessity. Now, this is why he said, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're giving because you feel you have to, you ain't going to ever be happy. You're going to feel it just because it's a demand out of you. See, I know that I can give and give with great joy because I've learned how to give with my willing heart. And you know what? You're willing to do it, so hey, I'm free to do it. Hallelujah. My faith's working. We can do this. I can believe to do this. See, this works in everything. This works in the areas of healing. Works in the whole thing. See, sometimes people are trying to stretch out in a place of faith they can't go to concerning healing. They can't go to. No, I've learned this over time. You go to the area and reach out as far as your heart can take you. And that's where you can stand in faith. You can't stand in. I don't care if God offers divine healing. If you can't believe to get divinely healed without the help of a doctor, you know, get a casket. Because you probably need it. You reach as far as your faith can take you. How far you can believe out and reach out. Don't matter what somebody else did. You go as far. See, it's about your heart. You get, because why? Here's where faith. Faith will make you happy. Faith will make it, because you know what? I believe if I need to go to the doctor and he gets some help, but I believe God will get me through this thing. I'm turning on. My faith is what? See, I can look at this whole thing with joy and not, oh my God, I'm just having these problems and I'm that. And we're just trusting the Lord. You see, I can look at it and say, you know what? I'm in this trouble, but I'm going to tell you, God's working on this for me.
Amen.
Why? That's what faith said. Faith said, hallelujah. Faith, what? Faith will bring you joy. Faith will bring you. You see, this is dealing with this. Giving should be done happy. Doing what you don't want to do never make you happy. You know? Now, I'm talking about from your heart standpoint. Your flesh, my flesh sometimes thinking, you're going to give that much? And I've just learned to, you stupid thing, you. Say, the only reason you have good and get great lunches is because I do this, you moron. You dumb thing. Because your flesh is stupid. Get over it. Ain't nothing nice about your flesh. You ain't pretty. Your flesh is stupid. It'll do anything to take care of itself and throw somebody else under the bus.
Amen.
That's the flesh. You got to whip it into shape and say, you ain't allowed to do that, you dumb thing. Oh, I know. I got flesh.
Amen.
And you have to deal with it. Hallelujah. Now listen to what he says. Now see, when you get over in this area, this is meeting this area which you're doing something by faith, not grudgingly, not because you know a necessity. Then he says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Well, would he do it if you were doing it grudgingly, if you were doing it of necessity? No. In this essence, it allows God to be able to do this for you. This is why you want to find your place of faith, where you can stand and where you can do and trust God on the level you are. You know, it don't matter if you can believe God for $1 million. If you can't, no biggie. You know? Like Brother Hagin said, I'll take a $500,000. You know, it don't matter. But you know, hey, Wanda and I started, the first thing we ever believed for was $20. You'd have thought we hit the jackpot. You'd have thought we won a lottery. That $20 showed up was the biggest thing because something showed up for us outside of our ability of whatever it was. Nobody, you know, God did this thing for $20. See, if you'd asked me to believe God for $100, I couldn't. That would have been a stretch. He said, believe God for $100. I wouldn't have. $100? Come on. You know, that was out there. I mean, today, $100, that's a nothing. I mean, dear Lord. You know, everybody talk about money being like, but people say like, well, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 is a lot of money. What are you talking about? That ain't nothing today. Heck, there's a lot of houses you can't even make a down payment on it. What are you talking about? People, a lot of money, my words. There's a lot of good cars you can't buy. You know, it's like your whole concept of what you think a lot of something is. People say, well, that cost a lot. No, it don't. Ain't gonna cost. I tell you, it ain't going over my faith yet. Hallelujah. So it don't cost that much. Because my faith can go beyond that. Well, you know, I'm not wanting to say the Lord just told me to talk about it, but God's teaching me and concerning things of, and told me what to do with, gave me a principle laid out and start to do in faith-wise. And this is what God is able. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. And I was just obeying God on what he was telling me. It wasn't enormous amounts of money or anything like that. It was, and I just obeyed him because he told me, I want you to do this and I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And so I did them. Had money come back in for some things. He said would come back. He said, you do this, this will happen. I said, okay. So I did. So I went and gave this one amount and that thing. And this was in 2015. This was March of 2015. After I had these encounters, you know, God's not a fraud in what he tells you to do. So in March, I was down at Randall Greer's meetings in March at his meetings. It was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I get a call from a guy and he tells me, he said, a lawyer's going to contact you. And I just wanted to let you know that it's not, you know, this is not some false thing. A lawyer's going to contact you about some money that's coming to you. And I thought, whoa. I thought, well, it's more than $10 a lawyer's calling. They wouldn't call for something that cheap. A lawyer would never spend the money to make a call. But we found this out. I mean, God is able to make all grace abound to you.
Amen.
Now, when you start obeying God, God will work beyond where your faith goes. But you've got to take your faith where you can. See, many people want God to go exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think when you ain't done nothing. Forget it. Ain't happening. Well, I'm just obeying what he told me to do. This lawyer gives me a call and tells me that you have $186,000 going to be coming to you. I was like, what? But first thing I did is I went to the Lord because he had told me some certain things. And I said, Lord, how come all of a sudden this huge amount comes? I mean, one shot like this. And this is what the Lord said to me. We ain't got time to mess around with this other stuff. That's what he said to me. He said, we ain't got time to mess around with this other stuff. Well, I asked him, I said, well, Lord, how far can I go with this? He said, it has nothing to do with me. This is about you. How far do you want to take it? How far do you want to go? Well, see, I understood this. This is about my faith. See, people reach a limit that they believe God can do for them, and then they say, well, this is all God wanted me to, or this is it. Was never like that. They set the limits. They put the limits on. You and I put the limits on our life. The scripture would be a lie that all things are possible to him that believeth if there was limits put on. It's not. Now, I want you to get this, because don't get discouraged. You may have put a limit on things. Well, now you know you don't have to. You know, don't get, I messed up. See, that's the first thing that self-pity and stuff and the devil will try to lead you. See how you've been messing up, you idiot. You could have done more and you didn't. Well, you can go play that route if you want to, or you can stop and say, hey, now I know what to do. We can go further in this thing. Now look, it's going to go no further than your faith and willingness. No further. It won't go beyond it. You have to be willing. See, and these things of going on to willing to more money, you know, I have my faith out for large sums of cash. Large sums of cash. Now, wow, but this is one thing as I know. See, if I'm going to walk around, you see these things come to pass, I got to live like I got some. See, one thing, I give like I already got these large sums. See, if you're waiting for the large sum to give, you're acting like you never received it yet. You're acting like it ain't yours. Woo! Did you get that revelation? You get that? Oh, I believe I have that when it shows up. Then I'm going to really give. And I found this out with people. It never comes. Never comes. See, I give like I got money. I gave like I had money when I didn't have no money. I gave like I had money. Why? Because I believed I had money. I believed I did. Naturally, I didn't. But I believed I had it. And I gave like I had it. I didn't write bad checks, folks. Don't be going doing that. Don't write them faith checks. Those faith checks come back on you and you might do jail time by faith. Don't be doing that. Hallelujah. Here's God. It said, verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. You see what he said? His righteousness endures forever? See, righteousness is by faith. Your faith will endure forever. The righteous man's righteous by faith. Nobody ever got righteous without faith. He's talking about faith here. Your faith is going to endure forever. Because faith makes you righteous. You're given by faith. You're righteous. I'm given by faith. I'm righteous. Hallelujah. When I give by faith, it's a righteous act. Hallelujah. I'm declaring when I'm given by faith, I'm a righteous person. Hallelujah. That's who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what's God? God is, how it says, he disperses abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seeds you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, your faith. Amen. The fruits. God, the stuff you sow, God, your righteous act, God is going to multiply to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, there's purpose in this thing. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Why does God do it? God enriches you to become a liberal. Oh my God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. There's too many people call themselves conservative and they ain't conservative. They're tight. That's what they are. They're tight. I'll tell you, I am a flaming liberal when it comes to giving. I'm a flaming liberal. I'll tell you what. They don't get no more liberal than it. Hallelujah. We're liberal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? You see this thing with Paul? Paul wasn't taking something from these people. He's blessing these people. He's showing, look, you're doing this, and this is what God's doing for you. Hallelujah. What your faith produces. And that's what I want this morning. See, as we give today, I want you to think concerning, as we take offering, whether you put in your tithes or your just a general offering, whatever you do in your giving, is understand. Do it. I'm doing this willing. This is something I want to do. This is what I want to do. I don't feel like if I have to do this to get blessed, that's the wrong thing. I don't have to tithe to get blessed. I can show you multimillionaires, billionaires. They never tithe or give nothing to God, and they're billionaires. You can make money without God. Surely the world has shown that. It's these ministers keep trying to tell people, you ain't going to never get nowhere if God don't give you the money. Well, hold on, that isn't the purpose. This isn't what it's about. They miss the whole purpose of what this thing's all about. See, you and I can live in a place where God blesses us, where we know it's God. See, there's a relationship. It's just like a man and woman having a relationship in a marriage. There's a union there that's supposed to be there, a fellowship among each other. You know, you can't have that anyplace else. At least you shouldn't be trying to. But see, there's a relationship. And see, this is about love of the one that you're supposed to be loving. This is this faith toward Him thing. This is the thing about, man, this one that I love, I'm doing things because I love Him, and look what He does for me because I love Him. I'm not trying, look, I get into situations, the market's going up and down, and people don't know what to do, and people are, you know, I say, I know what to do. I just keep walking by faith. I know what to do. Amen. If God can only bless by the American market, He ain't near as big as He said He was, and He lied.
Amen.
God has to take care of me, because you know what? I ain't taking care of Him. He don't take care of me. This ain't no one-way street. I don't have a one-way street God. It's about me doing what He says, and He's the big bully in the block. And just that, how you can have faith in that? That kind of God will just rob the faith right out of you. That'll rob willingness right out of you. That can't be God's opinion or idea about things. No matter how good things, He's going to inspire you to faith. That you'll walk by faith and you'll have joy in it. Hallelujah. You'll be glad to do it. And see, I want you to go there today. That's what God wants you. God wants you to think about what I'm doing it and doing it willingly. Doing it. Say, hey, you know what? Say to yourself, I want to do this. This is what I want to give. I don't feel obligated. Hallelujah. And God will make all grace abound toward me. Hallelujah. He said He would. I'm just following the principles of giving. Hallelujah. See, but people use the things, well, give it, it'll be given unto you. You know, that is, you can't stand on that scripture itself. There's other things. You can't go out here and live like a heathen, walk like hell, don't follow God, just, well, I'm going to give and everything's going to come back to me.
A great preacher.
People get this. No, there's all these scriptures tied together in a wonderful package of blessing. This is about a way of life as Christians that we have. We give because we want to. See, I don't want you to feel, if you feel obligated in your giving, you can't do it by faith and God can't bless you.
Amen.
I don't care how much you put in.
Preach. That's right.
God has a system of blessing, of you operate in faith and He reciprocates towards you. When He can't do that, that's disappointing to Him.
Amen.
You need to understand that God gets disappointed. He can't give you what He wants to give you. Amen. He don't look at it and say, well, you scumbag, you should have believed in Him. It disappoints Him. How many of you, your children, if you did think you can't bless their life, or you couldn't do something because of what they do? Don't you sit down and say, well, that stupid kid of mine, we all just throw him under the bus. I'll tell you. No, you love your children and it disappoints you. Why? Because there's blessing for them to have that they can't have. How much do you think God loves you? I'll tell you what. I'm His favorite kid. Aren't you? Aren't you? I'm His favorite kid. Hallelujah. He must really love Ed, because I wonder sometimes. I tell you, He must have an incredible love toward me, because sometimes I wonder about me. I think, dear God, He sure is good. I'll tell you. As Rose was reading this morning, the Lord's good and His mercy endures forever. I think He's loved me with a lot of mercy. Hallelujah. But I'll take it. I ain't throwing it out. People say, I don't deserve it. I don't care. I'm still going to believe God and get it whether I deserve it or not. He said and told me to do it.
Amen.
See, this undeserving Christian stuff, you got to throw it under the bus. It ain't nothing but the devil.
Amen.
Ain't nothing you get from God you deserved. Hallelujah. We get it by faith.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Right. Understand, like Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He didn't say without giving it's impossible to believe Him. He said without faith. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. Not possible. The importance of faith. It's not possible. It's not possible to please Him. So whatever you're doing, the Bible tells us, this is why when we look in the Scripture it says, whatever isn't of faith is sin. Why? For the believer, it's a sin not to trust Him. Why? The word the sin is actually to miss the mark. See, we miss the mark with God and He can't bless us. And He ain't sitting up there wanting to knock you in the head. It's like He's disappointed. Why? Not because you just did something wrong. I can't bless Him. I wanted to bless Him. Can't do it. And you know what He'll do for you? He'll try to move on you to get you back in faith. See, this morning, what this is about, see, I believe people have been hurt in these areas around here. I want you to start following your heart. You know, I've learned to do this. Sometimes my flesh had a hard time, but in my heart, I needed to do a certain thing or give a certain amount. In my heart, I just knew I needed to do it. My flesh wasn't happy about it. But you know what? I knew this in my heart. I ain't going to ever be happy unless I do that. That thing's going to bug me if I bypass it. Because my heart's trying to move me to a place. And I just have to stop and say, you know what? I'm going to get willing. I'm going to willingly do this. I'm going to set myself. I ain't going to do this out of grudging and fear. Well, I just got to do it. God's going to get me. God ain't going to get me. I'm going to do this because it's about my heart desires to do something. You know what? You want to ruin your own heart? It ain't the devil. It ain't God. Keep going against what your heart wants to do to bless. Why? You know what? Ain't nothing worse than that guilt feeling. That guilt that bothers you. I knew we should have done that. I knew I should. Now, I know none of you never had that. I'm the only guy that ever went through that. I knew it. Boy, there's things that I bypassed already, and I thought, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I knew inside of me. But you know what? I let the flesh and my mind talk me out of it. And you know what? My own heart wasn't grieved. It wasn't God didn't grieve my heart. My own heart was grieved. It didn't get to do what it wanted to do. My own heart knew there was blessing if I would have followed it. And I didn't follow it. See, I want to encourage you to follow your heart. Quit following your head. Quit just listening to people, what they all think you all do. And I said, follow your heart.
Amen.
Follow your heart to do. Look, this is why I spend so much time in the Word. You think, man, this guy beats his stuff and beats it. Look, you got to get this stuff because I know where the success comes from. And it does not come from a lot of what's been said.
Amen.
I want you to be, when you think about giving, it becomes a happy place for you. It becomes a place of joy for you. It becomes something you like to go to, not something somebody's trying to drag out of you. Hallelujah. God ain't even doing it to you. Paul anointed by the Holy Ghost when he put that down? Were these heaven's words, or this is just hell talking, trying to con people out of money? What is it? What was Exodus? Was Moses, did he have too much pizza that day and came out with this thing? And hallelujah. He went out to the Egyptian pizza shop and got some pizza with leeks on it and came back and said, whoa, I think I heard something. No, God's interested. He wants you willing to do it. Sometimes it takes you time to get willing to do something. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking time to get willing to do it. Sometimes you need to get yourself over. Sometimes you need to get to your flesh and say, look, I know I want to do this, and I'm going to put the flesh under, and I'm going to do it. This is the right thing to do. Get yourself over here, because if you don't get into faith in doing it, you can go ahead and do it, but there's no reward in it. The reward's in the willing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I have a willing heart.
Hallelujah.
You have a willing heart. Say that. Say, I have a willing heart.
I have a willing heart.
I want to do the will of God.
I want to do the will of God.
I always want to do the will of God.
I always want to do the will of God.
My heart is always toward God.
My heart is always toward God.
I love the Word of God.
I love the Word of God.
And when I see it,
and
it's revealed to me,
I want to do it. I want to
do it. That's my nature.
That's my nature.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
Act just like my dad.
Walk like my dad.
Talk like my dad.
Talk like my dad.
Because my dad made me like he is. And he did.
Amen.
Talk about what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
The real you. Amen. We talk too much about the guy on the outside. And we're going to bury that stupid thing one day. They're going to bury this dumb thing. If Jesus don't come back and get changed, it's going to have to go in the ground and say, just let it alone. You don't have to go there and visit that ugly thing. I'm just telling you. I'll tell you. Show up there the day when I come out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, that ugly thing's dead and I'm in heaven having a great time. Go over there and say, Ed's buried here. No, he ain't. That stupid body's buried there. They finally put it where it belonged, under the ground.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, I preach me.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask our ushers, come, are you ready to give today? Well, I want to know, are you happy to give?
Yes.
Lord knows I am. Hallelujah. See, that's why we preach ourselves happy. With joy to give. Why? Because...